Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Very happy you can join us again today. It's early there in Houston, I understand, or wherever you're listening to. I guess it may not be early in Phoenix or elsewhere by the time this show plays, but let's go ahead and just mention that just because we talk about certain tax concepts, tax strategies, etc., as we discuss some of this week's goings-on in the media, don't rush out and try to implement any of the things we talk about on your own. Please seek the wise counsel of your existing advisors. If you don't have existing advisors, don't just go rush into the strategy. You know, go to our website at beaplannershow.com and fill out our intake forms. You'll see a link there towards the center top of that homepage. And if you'll fill out preferably the first three forms, steps 1, 2, and 3, I'll be happy to spend some complimentary time on the phone with you to get to know more about your unique facts and circumstances, to where we might be able to determine whether we can help sync up with your goals and objectives with respect to our services. Please note that we don't sell investments. We don't recommend investments. We act more as a coach where we're helping you understand with some independent analysis. We have no dog in the hunt, so to speak, but the people we take on as clients, we help you understand what you're getting ready to sign up for when you decide to invest in a real estate private partnership syndication. And we understand what the gobbledygook in the 200 to 300 page stack of legal documents says is going to happen. It's the Bible, the operating manual, if you will, for that endeavor. And if you don't understand what you're signing up for, my advice is to take a step back, get a little education. There's a number of ways of doing that. We can help on that front, or you may decide to join some of the mentor platforms that are out there, although they vary dramatically with regard to any type of educational value, I guess I should say. And but again, don't invest in things you don't understand. It'll come back to bite you most of the time. But anyway, okay, well, speaking of BAPlannerShow.com, we have a news page on that site. It's under the Resources tab. And in fact, I've recently modified the Resources link itself to where now I've got some reference materials, some of the articles that we either have or will reference on the show, I've put on their separate spot right on the Resources page. And then below the Resources page, you see the news and the videos. And I'll apologize, I'm way behind on my videos project, but suffice it to say, I've rounded up a significant number of videos, a lot by Representative David Swikert. He's just a gold mine for videos on just how bad off our fiscal issues are at the federal level. And in any event, I hope by this coming Friday or Thursday show, either one, to have, I don't know, another dozen or more videos out there. In fact, I could do 2 pages of Swikert YouTube videos if I could find the time to go download, upload, tag, etc. And I'll get caught up at some point, but boy, it's a hard time of year to be working in the past. So with the tax deadline, etc. But anyway, if you go to the news page, you'll notice right at the top I've got 3 articles from the truthinaccounting.org site, which is a wonderful site. And you know, they've recently, or within the past the past couple months, they've issued 2 of their big 3 annual reports. The Financial State of the Cities they brought out in February, and then the Financial State of the Union analysis, the speech, and the extra spending that Mr. Biden wants to undertake. Mr. Biden seems incapable of even basic math, and when you look at what he's proposing to do, it's scary in terms of what it's going to add to the deficit. And Truth in Accounting is not the only economic outlook group that's saying this is insane. There's others, and of course, who better than us, since we love talking about Roth conversions, to keep pointing out and just hammering away at just how bad off we are as a nation when it comes to our nation's balance sheet. It's just crazy. And I've got more than a few articles just over the last 2 or 3 weeks that highlight the details. And most of the articles on our news page are not necessarily in strict date order. They are, for the most part, I guess, in date order. But I see topics occasionally after they've been out for a while, and I still go ahead and put them up on the site because they represent some form of value to understanding what's going on. In fact, I put an article up today called People Spending Other People's Money, and that's an article about just how bad off California is. That's also a Truth in Accounting. I've got that link wrong. It's .org. Is what should be on there, but I'll have to fix that. I've got a couple of those wrong. But in any event, each one of these reports we could spend more than a full show on. I'm not going to do that. I just really wanted to point out to you that I've got them out there. And, you know, in your free time, if you will, you should check those out, because if you don't understand just how bad off we are, and it's not just the federal's bad enough. The cities and the states are very bad as well, and a shocking number of the states don't have the ability to pay their bills, and they don't have the ability that the federal level of government does, the luxury of printing your own money, essentially. But, you know, if you visit the Truth in Accounting site, let me see if I can put my hands on this. Well, let's see here. I could do it this way. They've got a, right on the home page, they've got a just a small little caption that shows you the current debt scenario. It's it's towards the top, actually. The U.S. published, I'm looking at it real time, is $34,488 billion. dollars. It's over that, actually. It's almost 489 trillion. I mean, 34 trillion, 489 billion. And that's the, quote, published national debt. If you look right below that, Truth in Accounting titles this box The Truth. The truth is the deficit, if you included unfunded mandates, these are rules or these are pieces of legislation that we've passed, but maybe they haven't started yet, but they're definitely coming. There doesn't have to be another vote by Congress to initiate them. So they're already out there. And if you look at that number, and you can look at assorted economist assumption sets, this one is actually a bit lower than many I've seen. But they say the truth, the reality, when you add the unfunded mandates, we're up in the $157 trillion range. If you're not looking at the site, would you like to guess how much each of our taxpayer public, and I mean people that actually file returns and pay taxes, each of our respective share of that $157 trillion is $988,000, almost $1 million each. And that's just, it's hard to fathom. In fact, most people can't fathom it. In fact, I was listening to one of the David Swikert videos, and he said, yeah, most of us can't keep, I think it's 15 zeros. It's either, let's see, it's 3, 6, 9, 12, yeah, 15. It's 15 digits. I guess it could be as many as 14 zeros, but it's just, it boggles our minds in terms of trying to get your head around how bad off the fiscal deficit is. Let's see. So those three articles, or those three studies, I guess you can say, the links to them are out there. And again, if you want to go to bed early any night, you may or may not be able to sleep. It gets old reading about just how bad off we are. But the data's there. Somebody else has already spent oodles of time and money to calculate it. Take advantage of that on your way to a Roth conversion. And for those of you that don't know what a Roth conversion is, that is where we are able to take our pre-tax retirement money, be it a 401k or an IRA, and convert those dollars from being currently, let's say they're pre-tax, which means we made the contribution and did not pay tax at the time that we did so. And in fact, we got a deduction in most cases. And so we haven't paid the piper yet in terms of the net that we're going to be able to access in that retirement plan. And you say, well, what do you mean? I've got $2 million in my 401k. And my response is, if it's not in a Roth 401k, you might have half that, maybe less, by the time you get around to start taking your required minimum distributions or otherwise tap into those funds. And you're going to be very surprised at how little you actually have. And I would tell you, with the way that the tax rates will go up within the next, 2028, 29, 30 range. So what's that, 5 years or less now? They will go up likely as much as 200%, just depending on how much of the attempt to plug the gap falls on the tax rates, as opposed to cutting, for instance, maybe raising Social Security age, changing some of the indexing on Medicare or Medicaid, or you know, how much we're spending on the military, which when's the last time you saw us cut that? That would be like saying we're going to cut the expenditure on the country's interest payment each year, which is going to be the largest part, the largest component of the budget will be simply to pay the interest on the debt at some point between now and in 2034. If you look at the 10-year update that CBO, or the Congressional Budget Office, just released, that's where the interest is headed. And, you know, I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm not saying this to do anything other than make you understand you got to get your money into something, some vehicle that will withstand the inflationary pressures going forward of the added spending, and give you significant tax breaks, and at the same time give you an off-ramp into tax-free investing. And that, my friends, is real estate, private partnership syndications, specifically in the multifamily or apartment building asset class. It's the one thing that consistently accomplishes all the above, and at the same time, you don't have to be a private equity mogul to participate. Normal people work normal jobs that have 401k plans that are savers can take advantage of those investments, and typically they return a higher level of profit and create more retirement wealth for folks that are headed towards retirement. Let's do this. We've got a little bit past our first break. Let's go ahead and take that break, and we'll return with more good news when we get back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. What's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me away. I want to be big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and fake dreams.
big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we were just talking about the sad state of affairs with regard to our federal budgets primarily, but we also alluded to cities and states, and it's bad all over. And yet, you know, the cities and states really are up against the wall because they don't have the ability to go print money. So, you know, it's just tragic the amount of money that we waste on government spending. And I know it all depends on your politics, perhaps, but, you know, I would suggest that it's becoming, and this is really the issue, it's becoming less and less Democrat or Republican. It's simply the math. And if you don't understand that, go pull some of these reports. So anyway, let's see here. I was just adding another article here. Let me update this. I saw this right before I came on the air, and I kind of ran out of time to get it done then. But the title there, it's a Kiplinger article that was, let's see, the 14th, which is just a few days ago. And I see this all over, and you know you've done it, you know, if you're listening to this. The title of the article is, "How Much Richer Could You Be Without a Big Tax Refund?" And this, it amazes me how I have clients that if they're not getting a big refund each year, they think their preparer is doing something wrong. It's like, well, you know, my last accountant always got me a big refund. Well, you know what? I can do that too. How much you want to pay in now so you can get a big refund later when we file next year's return, right? That's insanity that you're going to let the government use your money. And as long as they give you that refund within, I believe it's 45 days, or maybe it's 60 now, I've forgotten that it's changed over time, they don't owe you a penny of interest. It is not a good investment. How about you don't pay it into them, and as the article suggests, I believe that's what it suggests. I didn't read it because I knew what this was referring to. Why not invest it? The subtitle here on this article is, "A Big Tax Refund Isn't a Reason to Celebrate If You Overpaid Throughout the Year. Your Interest-Free Loan to the Government Could Have Cost You." And it really should say, your interest-free loan to the government cost you, because it obviously represented a situation where your funds were tied up and you couldn't make money on them. Now, that said, I know I had a client, or have a client, that a couple years ago, well, it's been longer than that now, probably 3 or 4 years ago, it was right at the onset of COVID, had a fairly good size refund because they invested in something late in the year, a real estate partnership that kicked off a bunch of losses that they could use. They weren't limited by those. And had, you know, a five-figure refund, which sizable to me, you know, $40-something thousand. And we e-filed, so it wasn't due to paper. Return was accepted through the e-file system. And it took almost 3 years before he saw the money. And we made multiple requests to find out status, and all we were told were, we need more time. And no other details. You know, he was constantly watching the mail just to make sure he didn't miss anything. He had gotten a letter that he had responded to quickly to help him understand that, yes, it was him trying to get the refund. They're hypersensitive now about identity theft. But in any event, he finally got his money, and then the interest rates had gone up. I mean, you know, there's a flip side to the issue now where you pay if you owe them money and it's the wrong amount. It's too much, in other words. You'll pay it's an annual interest rate of 8% on the money you owe. Well, the flip side's also true, and I can't remember. It usually varies by a percent or maybe a half a percent lower than the rate you pay the government, naturally, right? You're going to pay more than what they're going to pay you. But still, as I explained to him, I said, man, by hook or crook, this turned out to be a decent investment. If you're getting paid 7 or 7.5% with the full faith and credit of the U.S. government behind you, this beats T-bills, you know, at the time. And but anyway, that is another topic, and I've got an article in the recent past about just how punitive that what used to be 3% interest rate if you owed them, it was almost free, has now risen to 8%, I believe is the current number. And let's see how fast that number comes down. It took it a while to go up, but it does track fairly closely the rates that you see out there in the quote market. Okay, let's see here. I want to talk about this article came out on the 11th, right after the State of the Union, where Biden rolled out his sweeping $7.3 trillion budget request for 2025. That's a lot of money, folks. That is a lot of money. And he's talking about trimming the deficit by $3 trillion in the next 10 years. Okay, now, I want you to think about something. When's the last time you heard Mr. Biden talk about having already cut the deficit? I think $2 trillion. It's, quote, not a joke. Not a joke. That's how he starts telling. Well, if it isn't a joke in this case, it's a lie. Okay, and I think he knows it. He can't be that innocent when it comes to math. And what he calls cutting the deficit by $2 trillion actually was raising the deficit by $1.7 trillion, and that was before he gave away another, I forget how many billion now, in loan forgiveness on student loans unilaterally by executive order. And so you can't believe a thing this crew in Washington says. And it's not just Mr. Biden, but it certainly includes Mr. Biden. And in any event, what he plans to do, though, he's going to double down on attempts to increase the corporate tax rate. And then he wants to enact a minimum tax on billionaires and quadruple the stock buybacks tax. And as the article continues, and this is from thehill.com, which is not a right-leaning publication. Any of you that have read articles off that site, but in any event, they look to quote, crack down on wealthy tax cheats. They're going to target parts of the 2017 tax plan, the Trump TCJA, to get there. And, you know, they all tend to overlook the fact that the TCJA raised enormous amounts of extra tax receipts. It's not, as is depicted many times by the Democrats, a giveaway to the wealthy. And so, you know, I think, as with many times when new tax legislation is proposed, they tend to, you know, overlook the fact that they're cutting off their hand to spite their face, I guess, is how the saying goes. And, you know, there's a lot of wealthy people that pay a lot of tax without these sorts of body blows that Biden is talking about enacting. At the same time, the budget request also supports extending tax cuts for Americans making less than $400,000, but with additional reforms. Well, which one of those two statements, extending or additional reforms, do you think will be the reality? And you got to remember, if you go back to the Build Back Better attempted legislation from, when was that, the end of 2021, I believe, the $400,000 or $450,000 plateau, which he used at that time to define the wealthy, got a little fuzzy by the time that legislation actually was proposed. Thank goodness it didn't go through, because if you were a small business owner, they were looking at the gross number on your business as being the $400,000 mark. For some reason, gross revenues became the mark for wealthy people. Absolutely absurd. And to think that Biden or anyone else, whether you're Democrat or Republican, could think like that, just amazing. It's disheartening. It's disappointing. We don't have people of more intellect and moral fortitude than the folks that have been running our government for at least the last 40 years, it seems like. The president's latest proposal echoes last year's budget plan, which also aimed to lower the deficit by $3 trillion and raise taxes on the wealthy. Well, you know, when you live in Fantasyville, why wouldn't you propose the same thing? They know full well there's no way that it'll pass, but hey, it gives Mr. Biden something to talk about when he's out on the campaign trail. Don't ask him any specifics, though, because he has not a clue what he's really saying when he talks about cutting the deficit by $3 trillion. He has no idea what that really means beyond just the talk phase. He doesn't even have good speechwriters. If you look at how they contradict their tax concepts from time to time, it's pretty scary. The latest example came hours before the unveiling of his budget on Monday, as Trump critics circulated a clip of the former president arguing there's a lot you can do when it comes to entitlement programs. They were making Trump out to be the idiot, which, you know, Trump is not without fault when it comes to spending money. However, the reality is, without some attention being given to the deficit, again, Medicare is out of money. I believe it's 2026 if we don't move quickly to fix it. Social Security, I believe, is 2034. And whatever that year is, and I'm pretty sure it's 2020 or 2034, your Social Security will get a 25% cut overnight if we don't do something to shore up the Social Security Trust Fund. It will be gone at that point. And again, 25% cut. If you're on Social Security now, get your calculator out and multiply by 0.75, whatever your Social Security check is each month, and then see what you think about having to adjust your spending to accommodate that. And that's only the start point. There'll be additional cuts if we don't take care of Social Security. And I've seen some proposals lately that, you know, purportedly will fix the problem. And of course, they involve, there's no easy fix to the Social Security mess. And what I've seen proposed more recently is we pigeonhole $1.5 trillion into a market-based system, and supposedly, magically, that's somehow going to solve the problem. I don't know. I don't know enough about the details, but I just know it's not going to be easy. It's going to involve some systematic policy changes as much as anything like a different funding apparatus to solve the problem. But anyway, you'll rest easy at night knowing that when apparently Trump said there's a lot you can do, and I agree, there is a lot you can do. It's just none of it tastes good. It's bad, bad, bitter, bitter medicine. Biden responded with a post on social media writing, quote, "Not on my watch." Well, let's hope it's not on his watch, because that's about the only way we're going to have a chance at solving the problem. Biden's plan proposes shoring up solvency for Medicare's hospital insurance trust fund in part by raising the tax rates on Americans earning above $400,000. Remember, that's probably, hadn't been any regulations written yet, but that's probably, if you're a small business owner and you gross, $600,000 and maybe net $150,000 or $200,000, you're wealthy. You're in the wealthy camp. You can help shore up Medicare and Social Security and reforming the capital gains tax. Reform is such an elusive word. Reforming usually means making your tax bill higher, okay, is I think a better way to describe that. And then eliminating tax subsidies for real estate and cryptocurrency transactions. Okay, well, now we're getting into an area that cuts close, right? And when you look at the significant impact that tax provisions have on real estate and availability of new development, it's pretty significant. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our second break, and we will return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
You are a reacher, so reach down. Shelter of your care each day. 'Cause I am a seeker and you are a keeper. You are a leader, won't you show me the way?
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Well, a man.
make it, maybe so. Will I give up or no? I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man, be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And as you know, just before the break, we were talking about how the Social Security trust fund is in such bad shape that sometime, I believe it's by the year 2034, may happen sooner, who knows, if we don't do anything, the cut on the year where it finally kicks in, I think it's 2034, if we don't do anything, there will be an automatic cross-the-board cut of 25% on your Social Security check. So if you're getting, just as an example, $2,500 a month, and I know I've got clients that get more than that. I've got a few that get less, and $2,500 a month, if you take a 25% cut, that leaves you with $1,875. Now, I know there's a lot of you that are saying, well, gee, $2,500 isn't that great. That's not enough to live on, at least in most American cities, but it's better than $1,875, which is what it's going to be, and therein lies the problem. So you need to put pressure on your congressman to deal with this. There's more and more that are acting like they get it. They know there's a problem, but thus far there hasn't been a whole lot of movement towards a bipartisan solution. And it better happen, and it better happen fast, or we will reach the point of no return, which we might have already done. I mean, that's what's scary. We may have already gone past the point of no return, but in any event. Okay, let's look at another article on the Biden tax plan. This is out on CNBC.com. Biden's billionaire tax takes aim at the super rich. But can a wealth tax work in reality? Good question. And I would tell you without even reading the article, it cannot, because I've seen the numbers. You could tax the billionaires 1,000% on their wealth, and it's not going to move the needle on how much the debt is cut or the deficit's cut. Let's just read through this together here. Calls for a wealth tax on the world's super rich are once again gaining attention after U.S. President Joe Biden said he would impose a new billionaire tax on the country's wealthiest if reelected in November. Outlining his budget proposals, Biden took aim at the uber affluent and reiterated plans for a 25% tax on Americans with a wealth of more than $100 million. 25%. And I'm not sure they're conflating, or maybe Biden's the one that's conflating the concept. They say no billion, this is a quote by Biden, no billionaire should pay a lower tax rate than a teacher, a sanitation worker, a nurse, he said last week. And I don't know if, you know, a 25% tax on wealth does not represent a 25% tax on income. So I'm not sure. I thought the way I've read this provision is rolled out in his proposal, it would be a 25% tax on one's wealth. And it gets into some really messy concepts where if you, let's say you're a business owner, you're going to be required to get valuations on the value of your company. And even though you're not selling it, you're still going to have to value the interest in your company or companies and remit the tax. And apparently this goes on year after year, which I don't know. That seems unreasonable. Of course, it doesn't seem any more unreasonable in year four than it does in year one, if you ask me. But this is, in case you're wondering what in the world this is all about, this is about the wealthy contributing more, the extremely wealthy contributing more and being proud to do that. That's written by a guy named Phil White, retired business owner and member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I guess it's some kind of organization or club. I don't know. He's obviously got his 100 million, or maybe, I know, maybe he's got 92 million. That's probably what he has. But in any event, last month, global finance ministers meeting for a G20 summit in Brazil said they were exploring plans for a global minimum tax on the world's 3,000 billionaires. And that's the problem. There's only 3,000. So in any event, they're looking for a way to ensure that the hypermobile super rich 0.1% of the world's population, that didn't seem like 3,000 could be as much as 0.1. That's 10% of 1%, if I'm reading that right. And of course, these days, you never know if you're getting it right. It seems like every article I pick up now, I don't know if it's AI that's causing it. There's misspellings and there's, you know, the wrong words. I don't know. We're going to take them at their word. I don't think 3,000 divided by, what do we have, 3 billion people in the world now? I don't think that's 0.1, but whatever. It's a small number. Such ideas even have the backing of some of the world's wealthiest. Well, of course they do, because the world's wealthiest are not necessarily the world's smartest people. And the so-called patriotic millionaires signed an open letter to world leaders calling for higher taxes for the wealthy. Among the 260 signatories were Disney heiress Abigail Disney and Succession star Brian Cox. And I'm gonna tell you, the biggest thing that these people are doing are trying to get publicity. I'd never heard of the Patriotic Billionaires Club, and now we're talking about it, okay? And you probably hadn't either. But experts are divided over the effectiveness of a wealth tax and how achievable it is in reality. A wealth tax is a broad-based tax on the value of all or most of the assets belonging to a wealthy individual or household, such as cash, property, vehicles, jewelry, and other valuable items. Unlike income tax, which is charged against annual earnings, and capital gains tax, which is imposed on profits accrued from the sale of an asset, a wealth tax is seen as a more holistic way of accounting for an individual's total wealth. Wouldn't expect anything less from CNBC, right? Such taxes were once prominent in Europe. Oh, wonder how that turned out. Though implementation dwindled at the turn of the 21st century amid questions over the efficiency and a broader shift toward lower top-end tax rates. Okay, well, enough of this nonsense. I don't know. I think the comment about the hypermobile is starting to mean more and more to me. And the bottom line is, and they do talk about this in the article, there's going to be a mass exodus out of these well-meaning politician, crazy politician-run countries when they start grabbing for people's wealth. Let's see here. There's one article that I want to mention just because it's kind of directly, potentially affects the multifamily space. Let's see. The White House proposes expanded measures. Let's let this come in. To help apartment renters. This is an article on CoStar, CoStar.com. big real estate, kind of the commercial de facto MLS, if you will. President Biden is signaling he will focus on concerns that apartment rents are too high and that affordable housing is in short supply in his reelection campaign this year. So what are they going to do? They're going to help. I'm reminded of Ronald Reagan's quote about, I believe it went along the lines, and I may not have it exactly right, the 9 most dangerous words you never want to hear is, we're from the government and we're here to help. You know what? I would rather the government stay out of the way. If you want to do something, quit spending more than we're taking in receipts, which is driving inflation, and quit the giveaways. When you just constantly pump free money into the economy, it causes higher rents. It causes less availability. It causes a number of evils in the real estate business, and you're not going to create, he says, he's looking to increase the housing supply with measures aimed at lowering multifamily rents. I got news for you, pal. Those are directly contradictory. If you lower multifamily rents, you're not going to increase the number of new units coming into the pipeline. It will not happen. These proposals also targeting what it calls unfair fees that further burden apartment units. Yeah, a lot of them are government fees. I know the cost of housing is important to you, Biden said in the annual State of the Union address Thursday night to a joint session of Congress. Quote, now pass my plan to build and renovate 2 million affordable homes and bring those rents down. Oh, spoken like someone that's never done it. And I would argue that's very likely the case with Mr. Biden. While national rents grew just 1% in 2023, the latest price hike follows yearly increases that reached double digits across several quarters in 2021 and 2022. Market-driven, and by the way, the market's doing its thing now as things move in reverse, and you've got an enormous amount of product that's getting ready to hit some of the major markets. We've talked about it, and it's got the tenants back in the driver's seat more than the landlord or the owners. But anyway, okay, well, I kind of ran out of space here. Maybe we'll address this article again on Thursday. Enjoyed the show. Glad you were able to tune in, and we look forward to you joining us again on Thursday and Friday, Thursday at 2 p.m., Friday at 11 a.m. This coming week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.